Rambam, Hilchis Yisoidei HaTorah, Chapter 7, Aleph. Mi Yisoidei Hadas. One of the fundamental principles of Judaism is Leida, to be aware, Shehakel Menabeyes B'nei HaAdam, that Hashem prophesizes through human beings. Hashem communicates to human beings via what we call prophecy. Ve'ein HaNavuah Chala, prophecy will not be conferred Ella. Al chacham gadol b'chachma, only on a human being, a wise person who is great in wisdom, gibor b'midoisav, somebody who is powerful in his midos, in his or her characteristics. V'lo yehi yitzroi mizgaber alav b'dover ba'olam. His natural inclination should not get the better of him in any matter of the world. Elohu mizgaber b'dayte al yitzroi tamid. But rather through his das, through his awareness, through his perceptiveness, through his mind, he always triumphs over his natural inclination constantly. The Rambam is here giving the conditions that make the human being a conduit for this experience of nevuah, of prophecy. So the first thing he says is the person has to have great chachma. The person has to be a gibor, a mighty, powerful person, when it comes to his midos, and it's expressed that there's no issue in the world. Nothing. There's nothing in the world where his natural inclination gets the better of him, overpowers him, overtakes him. On the contrary, he is fully in control of his life. This also must be a human being who has an expansive consciousness. And the choina ad ma'oid, it's accurate, it's authentic, it's real. Adam shuma mula b'chala midaseilu, a person who is filled, saturated with all of these characteristics. Shalem begufoy, and wholesome in his body, meaning the person is physically healthy, physically fit. Kesheyikanes lepardes, when this person enters the pardes, the orchard that we spoke about, the spiritual orchard. The pardes is the understanding of Maisa Merkava and Maisa Bereshis, the essence of creation and the essence of the spirituality in creation, the divinity in creation. And he will be drawn into these great, powerful, and sublime realities. In other words, this becomes his reality. He's attuned to the essence, to the depth of the physical reality. He's attuned to the divine harmony that pervades all of existence. And this person will have a correct mindset to be able to comprehend and grasp. The person sanctifies himself and travels down this path. He has the courage to segregate himself from the pathways of the masses who often follow the darkness of the time. He will not get lured into those superficial traps. And he entices himself with enthusiasm. There's an alacrity in his soul. He is motivated. He's eager. He teaches himself. He does not allow his thoughts to be overtaken by foolishness, by idle matters, by superficiality, nor will he or she allow their thoughts to become lured into the trap of the vanities of the time and all of its schemes and tricks. This person's mind, he will not allow himself to go there. His concentration, his mind, his consciousness is always focused. It's vacant. It's open to be connected above. Kshura tachas hakise, bound up under the throne. Lahavin ba'oisan hatsurei sakdoishes v'atahiris, to comprehend those spiritual, holy, and pure and sacred forms. Remember, the Rambam spoke in chapter 2. This is very meticulous. These words. that there are 10 levels of angels. The highest one is called Chayis HaKodesh, which is right under the Kisei HaKovet. And those are spiritual forms without physical matter that represent spiritual energy. And it's a level of spiritual evolution from one to the other to the other until the lowest spiritual form called Ishim, which ultimately is the spiritual energy that becomes later manifested in our physical world. So this person, actually, he traces the ladder back upwards. You know, the creation is a ladder downwards from divine energy, ultimately assuming a physical incarnation. And this person now travels back up, deeper and deeper, going in deeper into his or her own soul and own mind and own perception, own consciousness. So his mind now becomes connected, bound under that throne to be able to appreciate, to understand reality like those angelic spiritual forms without matter. In other words, this person becomes an antenna to perceive the divine vibrations of reality, if you will. This person is a person who gazes deeply into the expansive and all-encompassing wisdom of Hashem. And he says, Kula, meaning Mitzura Rishayna Atabur Ha'aretz. From the first angelic spiritual form we spoke about, Chayis HaKodesh in chapter 2, all the way down to the navel of the earth, to the navel of the earth means all the way down to the tiniest worm. Like he said before, the Yitush, the tiniest flea or mosquito, Betabur Ha'aretz, in the center, in the navel of mid-earth. Nothing is off limits to him because he knows that every one of these creatures, from the highest spiritual forms to the most brute, simple physical forms and matter, is a manifestation of the divine wisdom. And he sees it all. He looks at it all. V'yedeya man gadloi. And through them, he can perceive gadloi, the infinity of Hashem. Says the Rambam, after this, miyad ruach ha-kodesh sharer elav. Immediately, the Holy Spirit, divine inspiration, dwells on this person. So what the Rambam is really saying is, if I could put it in these words, that prophecy is really the innate condition of a human being when he or she manages to shed all the external layers, to get rid of all the distractions, to allow yourself to become transparent, to become a transparent conduit of the truth of reality, the divinity of reality, without all the static that is so much part of our brain and doesn't stop. When this person manages to clear that all up, and the Rambam gave the conditions, all of the details, both in terms of his or her readiness, what type of life they live, what type of person they become, what type of characteristics they develop, and what they are pursuing in their daily conduct, he says, miyad, right away, Ruach HaKodesh, the holy divine inspiration dwells on this person. It's interesting, the Rambam mentions Hakel Menabe as Bnei HaAdam. One of the fundamentals of Judaism is that Hashem communicates through people, Bnei HaAdam. And he doesn't make any distinctions here. Any distinctions, not between peoples, nations, genders. He says Bnei HaAdam, which is also clear from his Igeres Teiman, his famous letter of Teiman. And when this energy dwells on this person, his soul gets mixed into, it becomes integrated with that quality of angels, the first one, you remember number 10, the first one above our physical world, called Ishim. This person will be transformed into a different human being, and he will perceive with his das, with his perception, things. He will be transformed into a different person and will understand with a knowledge different what it was previously. His das is not the same das. It's a different level of perception. He becomes sublimated, elevated on the quality even of other human beings who are wise and sages. As the Pasuk says in Shol, Shmuel Aleph Perik Yud, when Shmuel Hanavi, Shmuel the prophet, one prophet, coronates Shaul, and he tells him, V'isnabesi imam v'nepachtali ish acher. You will prophesize with the other groups of prophets, and you'll be transformed into another human being. And indeed, the Pasuk continues, how Shaul then is given the gift of prophecy, and people are amazed and startled, and from this comes the famous expression, Hagam Shaul banaviyim, is Shaul also among the prophets? So the Rambam says, once this Ruach HaKodesh dwells on the person actually can become transformed into another person, a different type of das. He is elevated because of this ability of prophecy. Beis, Hanavim, the prophets, Milas, Milas Haim. There's no one category. There's different levels and gradations. Just like in wisdom, there's one sage who's greater than another sage. There's also in prophecy, a prophet greater than another prophet. V'kulam, but there's a common denominator. All of them, or I should say almost all of them, as we will see. They don't experience the vision of prophecy only during the dream, in a night vision, or during the day, after slumber befalls them. As the Pasuk says, in Ba'aloyscha, Ba'mare Lovesvada, Ba'chaloy Madabrabai. Hashem describes prophecy. He says, I appear to him through a vision, I communicate through a dream. The Chulam and all of the prophets, Hashem, when they prophesize, Evereim is Dazin, their limbs are shaken, they tremble. The Koyach Haguf Koyshal, the power of their body becomes weak, and their senses become confused, and their mind, their sense of consciousness and perceptiveness becomes open to grasp what they are seeing. As Avram says, by Avram's prophecy in Parshas Lech Lecha, it says an awesome, frightful darkness befell him as he began to experience prophecy. Daniel says, also a prophet, my glory, would be my appearance was heavily changed, and I did not retain my strength. Daniel is describing the prophecy. In other words, it's such a powerful experience. That moment of Nevuah is such a powerful experience. The Rambam says that physically the Navi is asleep at night, or a vision at night, or in the middle of a sleep during the day. He's not fully conscious with all of his or her bodily components and elements, but the mind, the perception remains clear to be able to grasp the Nevuah. But physically it's an overwhelming experience. Gimel, hadvarim shemadiyim lanavi b'mayra ha-nevuah. The ideas that are communicated to the prophet during the prophecy, derech mashal madiyim lai, are communicated usually as a metaphor. Umiyadi chakech b'libe pisrin ha-mashal b'mayra ha-nevuah v'yedemahu. Immediately it will become imprinted on his heart the concept of what this metaphor is trying to convey through the prophecy, so he'll immediately know what it is. K'moy hasulam shura Yaakov Avinu, malachim oylem v'yerdim, boy v'yoy mashal amalchiyas v'shibudan. Yaakov Avinu has that famous dream of a ladder, the angels going up and the angels going down. It was a metaphor. It was a metaphor for the empires in history and the subjugation of the Jewish people by those empires. K'moy hachay shura Yecheskel. Yecheskel in the beginning of the book sees all of these holy animals, chayis hakodesh. He sees these sacred animals. They're metaphors. Hasir nefuah chamakol shakat shura Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah hanavi sees a hot pot, a boiling pot coming from the north, and he also sees an almond branch. These are all metaphors. Hamagila shira Yecheskel. Yecheskel sees a scroll. Ha'efa shira Schaya. Schaya, the prophet, sees a measurement. V'chein shara Navim. All the other prophets, they are experiencing the prophecy through allegory. Yeshmem, I mean, ma'mashal l'pisrayna k'mayelu. Some of them will communicate to the people the metaphor and the meaning behind the metaphor, like the above prophets. Yirmiyah explains to them that the boiling pot, heat, is coming from the north, representing the rise of Babylonian power, which will defeat the Jewish people in Judea. The almond branch represents the fact that the almond is the fastest fruit to be produced, that the strife and the war coming to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, is going to be pretty swift. 21 days, Makal Shoket. So Yirmiyah communicates both. There are those prophets who will only explain the message. They will communicate only the message behind the metaphor. Sometimes they only communicated the metaphor without explaining the theme behind it. Like some of the words in Yecheskel and Scharia. You see the metaphor, you don't know what it means, you have to figure it out. The common denominator is that they're all prophesizing via metaphor and allegory. Dalit. Kol ha-Nevi'im, all the prophets, ein misnabim b'chol eis she-yirtzu. They don't prophesize whenever they'd like. It's just like, okay, I want to prophesize. They have to prepare themselves. It takes avoid, it takes work. They have to go into a state of meditation, of mindfulness, where their das becomes focused on this. V'yoshrim, they sit smechim with happiness, v'toyve lev and gladness of heart. They sit with a sense of joy and happiness. Umizboydedim, they're in a place of isolation. There has to be a certain seclusion, silence. She'ena nevuah shayra, because prophecy could never dwell. Lo mitoch atzvos, v'lo mitoch atzlos, ela mitoch simcha. Not amidst depression, sadness, and melancholy. Not amidst laziness, apathy, indifference. Only in a state of simcha, joy. As the Mefarshim bring from the famous Pasuk in Melachim, they wanted Elisha to prophesize, and Elisha said, v'ata k'chuli menagin, v'hoye k'nagin ha-menagin, v'ati alav ruach Hashem. I need somebody to play music. I need this state of simcha in order to be able to go into the right mindset to be able to become a conduit for this prophecy. Lefichach, therefore, b'nei ha-neviim, the disciples of prophets, lifneim, in front of them they have navel, a harp, toif, a drum, chalil, a flute, kinner, a lyre, v'hem avakshim ha-nevuah, as they search for prophecy. They had all of these musical instruments before them in order, in their aspiration to nevuah. V'zeo shenema, this is what the pasuk says, Shmuel ha-navi tells Shaul, v'hem ha-misnabim, k'loimah mishalchim b'derech ha-nevuah che-yinevuah. Here's a group of people who misnabim. They are following the path towards prophecy, just like you would say, this person is growing, he's becoming greater and greater. He may have not yet reached the ultimate goal, but this is the path. Those who seek prophecy are called the disciples of prophets, the children of prophets, the students. They're searching this, they're searching to discover this dimension of life. And even though they do the work, they meditate, they focus their mind. It's not a guarantee. Sometimes the Shechina may dwell on them. Sometimes the Shechina may not dwell on them. Of course, it's fascinating to point out, the Rambam in Halacha Ches said that after a person has all of the characteristics and follows the path the Rambam articulates, Miyad Ruach HaKodesh Shara Elav, immediately Ruach HaKodesh will dwell on him. Here the Rambam says, yeah, even after the Navi does everything, and even after he prepares and he aspires, sometimes the Shekhinah could dwell, sometimes the Shekhinah could not dwell. In other words, you need Hashem's will that I want to communicate through you. This is something that is raised by many of the commentators because it seems like quite a serious contradiction. One possible interpretation which I was thinking about, and then I saw that some of Farshim point this out in one form or another, is before the Rambam used the word Miyad Ruach HaKodesh Shayir Alav, here the Rambam is using the word Tishre Shechina and Nevuah, Bnei HaNeviim. The Rambam perhaps is saying that when somebody goes through all of these preparations, there will be a Ruach HaKodesh that dwells on this person, Miyad. If the person really removes all of the static and all of the distractions and you become a true, transparent being, there will be a certain element of Ruach HaKodesh, of holy inspiration, that flows through you. You know why? Because there's Ruach HaKodesh everywhere and everything, and everywhere. Like he says, the Chachma of Hashem is everywhere. And the spiritual reality is everywhere. You just have to be able to be a conduit for it. That's Ruach HaKodesh. Then there is a special gift called Nevuah. Hashem chooses you to become a prophet, a Navi, which also has many, of course, different gradations and levels. This is already a unique matan. A person can do everything. The Shechina may dwell on him. The Shechina may not dwell on him. Vav. Kol advarim shamarnu. Everything we spoke about him. Derech nevuah lechol anaviim arishonim v'acharonim chutz mimoshe rabbeinu rabban shel kol anaviim. Everything we spoke about is the path of prophecy for all the prophets, the early ones, the later ones, with one exception. The Rebbe, the teacher of all the prophets, Moshe Rabbeinu. Ma hefresh v'hech b'nevuahs Moshe l'shar kol anaviim. What's the difference between the prophecy of Moshe and all the other prophets? So the Rambam says, "Kol haNaviim b'chalaymai b'mayro, Moshe Rabbeinu misnabi v'uever oimid." All the prophets, their vision is only through a dream and a vision. Moshe Rabbeinu could be completely conscious and awake and stand and be a Navi. Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Parshas Nasa, Yovavoy Moshe l'oyalmed l'dabritei v'yishma sakal medabri elav. As Moshe came to the sanctuary to speak to Hashem, and he heard the voice speaking to him, Moshe Rabbeinu is standing, he's completely intact, and the voice communicates to him. Kol haNaviim, next one, Kol haNaviim aydei malach. All the Naviim, their prophecy comes through the medium of the spiritual angel we spoke about before, under the Kisei. Lefichach roye mashem reim b'mashal v'chid, and therefore they perceive everything only through metaphor and allegory. Moshe Rabbeinu lo yadei malach, not Moshe. Shenema the pasuk says in Ba'alois chapel pe'adaber. By Hashem says, I speak to him mouth to mouth, direct, intimate. V'nemar v'dibur Hashem el Moshe ponim el ponim. Kisis Hashem speaks to Moshe face to face. V'nemar Ba'alois chosmunas Hashem yabed. He gazes kivayochel at the image of Hashem. Kaloimar she. What does it mean? He gazes at the image of Hashem. Kaloimar it means she'ein sham mashal. There is no metaphor involved. El roya hadaver al buria b'loy chidu b'loy mashal. He sees the thing fully as is, without allegory, without metaphor. Husha Torah Meida Love, the Torah says about him in Ba'aloyscha, Ma'ariv Eloi Bechidois, She'ene Misnabi Bechida Ela B'Ma'ariv. He does not prophesy through allegory, only through direct vision, She'roya Hadover Al-Boyer. He sees reality fully as is, not through metaphors and not through allegories. In other words, what the Rambam seems to be saying here is, all the prophets, their experience of the divine energy is through the spiritual energy that is manifested in angels, that is manifested in the world, and therefore it uses metaphor, it uses allegory, it uses physical or spiritual ideas and energies in order to convey the concept, to convey the energy. Moshe Rabbeinu had the ability of Esmunas Hashem Yabit to perceive at least somewhat of the divine reality in and of itself, not the way it's manifested within any aspect of the world. The Navi is attuned to the spiritual reality within the universe and within the universes. That's what it means. He's attuned with the Malachim, which is the spiritual reality within the universes. And through that, he experiences the divine energy. And therefore, it's always using metaphor. It's always using allegory. It's always using different mediums of existence. Moshe Rabbeinu experiences the divine reality itself. Another difference. All the prophets, they're overawed. They are overwhelmed. They are confounded. Moshe Rabbeinu Einike, not Moshe. Who Shakasavayim Kasher Yedaber Ishal Re'ehu? Like Hashem speaks to a friend, that's how Hashem speaks to Moshe. Parshas Ki Sisi Kolaymer. K'Moshe Ein Adam Nivol Lishmoya Divrei Chaveira. Kacha Yekoyech Bedaiter Shal Moshe Rabbeinu Lahavin Divrei Hanavua Vu Oimid Al Amdoi Shalom. Just like you're not terrified and overawed and confounded and overwhelmed and startled when you're communicating with a good friend. There's no anxiety. You're communicating with a very close friend. You're natural. It's smooth. It's easy. Same was Moshe Rabbeinu. He had the ability to experience the words of prophecy, and he remains fully intact. Next, Kol Anavim Ein Mestab Mechaleis Sheir Tzu Moshe Ein Nekein El Kol Zman Sheyachpoitz Ruach Hakadosh Levashti Nevu Asher Olav. All the prophets, they can't prophesize whenever they want. They have to prepare themselves. Even if Hashem is ready to give them nevuah, as the Rambam said before, they have to go into that space of isolation, of joy, of meditation, of mindfulness, of das, in order to be able to be a conduit for nevuah. He says, Moshe, whenever he wanted, Ruach HaKodesh dresses up on him, and Nevuah dwells on him. He uses here both expressions. Ruach HaKodesh dresses him, and Nevuah dwells on him. And he doesn't have to go into a special mindful state and to become ready for it, because he's always ready, like an angel. Moshe is always in a state where his mind was always open for the deepest level of divine revelation and communication. L'fichich misnabi b'chol eis. 24 hours a day, he can prophesy. Shenemar, he says in Bahaloischa, they ask him a question about Pesach, and he says, Imdu ve'eshmu ma'itzav Hashem lechem, stand, and let me go hear what Hashem has to say. Really? Wow. Chazal say on this, Ashrei, unbelievable that there's a human being, he says, you know what, let me go hear what God has to say about this. U'bazeh hifticha yakel. Hashem promised him this. Shenemar, it says in Ve'eschanan, after Matan Torah, lechem mer lehem shuvu lechem le'aleim v'atapoy amoydi madi. Tell the Jews, you go back to your tents. After the revelation at Sinai, which was awesome and overwhelming, you go back to your family life, to your tents, and you, Moshe, you stay here with me. What does this mean? Halamadata. Kol Anavim, all the prophets, Shenavum, Istalekas Mem, Chazrim, La'alam, Shutzarchi, Aguf, Kulam, Kisharaam. When the prophecy departs from them, they go back to their tent, which is a metaphor for all of their physical, material needs, like all other people. Lefichachim, Persham, and Ershayim. They will not separate from their wives. Moshe Rabbeinu Lechazar, La'alay Harisha. Moshe never went back to that original tent. Lefichach thus parash bina isha la'olam. He separated from women forever for the remainder of his life. Umikol ha'doimel, and anything that's similar to that type of interaction. V'nikshir adaita l'tzur ha'olamim. His perception, his consciousness became bound up with the core of the worlds, with the rock of all the worlds. V'lo yistalik me'alav ha'hoid la'olam. V'karon ha'ponav v'neskadosh kamalachim. The glory never ever departed from him. His face became radiant and he became sanctified like the angels. So the Rambam says there are four distinctions between the Nevuah of every prophet and the Nevuah of Rabban Shekol HaNaviim Moshe Rabbeinu. Distinction number one is what? All of the Nevi'im experience their prophecy in a dream, in a night vision, in a day vision, during a slumber. Moshe Rabbeinu is fully awake, fully conscious of the Nevuah. The second difference is all the Nevi'im, their communication is through a malach, through an angel, and therefore through metaphor and allegory. Moshe Rabbeinu is directly through Hashem and without metaphor and allegory. Number three, all the Nevi'im during the prophecy, they are overawed, they are startled, they are overwhelmed. Therefore, their physical body goes into a different space during the moment of Nevuah, which is a special, unique moment. Moshe Rabbeinu not. Moshe Rabbeinu is like communicating with a best friend. Finally, the third difference is all the Nevi'im need preparation. It can't happen like this. They have to go into a certain place. And even then, Hashem has to choose if he wants the Shekhinah to dwell on them, like the Rambam said before. Sometimes Hashem doesn't want to give this Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu, any single moment he wanted, he was ready for the conduit of Nevuah, because he became like a malach. After Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu was always there. His mind was always in tune with the divine reality. Last halacha, halacha Zion. Hanavi, the prophet, efshe shetiyah nevuasil atzmei bolvat. Sometimes the prophecy is only for himself. Laharchiv liboy, lahoisiv daite, acheyedem ashleihoye yedeh meisim advarim hagdoilim. To expand his heart, to increase his perception, to the point that he will know things that he would have never known about sublime reality, about the truth of reality. Ve'efshe, but there's another possibility. She'yishulach la'om me'yami yoritz, el'an she'irem amlocha, lo'voinen oysam, lo'hidiyah mayasu, o'ylamonam imasam aram she'bedeyim. Sometimes the Navi is sent to a nation, one of the nations of the world. Sometimes to inhabitants of a city, or an empire, a kingdom, to give them comprehension, to give them understanding, to tell them what they should do, or to stop them from evil activities, from immoral behavior. We have the famous story of Yonah being sent to Nineveh to stop them from a path towards destruction. When the Navi is sent by the Ribbono Shel Olam, we give him a sign or a miracle so that the people should know that he's authentic. Hashem really sent him. It's not just, you know, the guy is hallucinating. But the Rambam says here something powerful. Not anybody who does a miracle, even though it's very impressive, do we believe that he's a prophet. We do not. The miracle can't be the determining factor. We need something else. A human being that we know initially before the miracles, that he is the type of person who is worthy of prophecy. We see it through his wisdom. We see it through his behavior, how he lives his life, how he conducts himself. We see how he is sublimated from many other people his age. He follows the paths of prophecy, the life of sanctity, the life of segregation from darkness and vanity and superficiality and stupidity. And then he performs a miracle and he says, Hashem gave me a prophecy. He sent me. Now it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah in the Torah to listen to him. Shenemar elov tishmon. Parshas Shoftim, Hashem says, to him you shall listen and obey his words. You have to know that sometimes a person could do a miracle and he's not a prophet. This miracle has some reasons why it's happened. The person, there's a fascinating idea that Rambam is saying, that there are certain people who have certain skills and can tune into certain sources and abilities to be able to perform a miracle. And they are not prophets. They can use the miracle to manipulate. If that's the case, any Navi who does a miracle, we should say, we don't know. So he says, nonetheless, mitzvah l'shmoel. If you know about the person, that he's worthy of Nevuah because you have seen how he lives and you see what type of person this human being is, and then he does a miracle, even though there's always that doubt in our mind and the speculation that this miracle is not an authentic demonstration that this person is a prophet, it's a mitzvah to listen to. Hayil, why? V'adam gadol v'chachem v'royil nevuhu ma'midim oisei al cheskosei. Since he's a great person, and he's a wise person, and he's worthy of prophecy, that we know without the miracle, now we assume that he is a real person. He's honest. He's not lying, that he's a Navi. And the miracle just helps us intensify that awareness. Even though it's possible that the guy became a liar suddenly and he's manipulating everybody. But the Torah says, no, we assume that he is a good man and a real man, a real authentic prophet. This is the mitzvah. And the Rambam gives a fascinating metaphor, a fascinating example. The Torah tells us to render a verdict based on the testimony of two kosher witnesses. Of course, we have to investigate the witnesses backwards and forwards, up and down, Shevach Kiryas Shevach, because we'll get to the laws of witnesses later in the Rambam. Is it not possible that they're lying? Of course it's possible that they're lying. Human beings can lie. Maybe they prepared themselves so well to the point that we cannot catch them by the lie. But yet the Torah says, when these two witnesses are testifying, and you do all of human investigation as much as possible, you did everything. And from your perspective, you ascertained that they are honest people, there's a mitzvah to listen. And that's how we render the judgment according to Torah. Why? Since we see that they're kosher people, they're good people, they have a good reputation, there's no issues that are coming up, we use our power of assumption according to Torah to say this is a true story and hence we have to render judgment. Reuven does owe Shimon $5,000. Same is here. The Torah knows that it's possible that they are lying, and yet our responsibility as human beings is to do whatever we can and then rely on the reality that we perceive, and hence accept their judgment. A person, in other words, could never know the absolute truth about a situation. We're not prophets. Maybe we could be, some of us, but I don't know the absolute truth about a situation. So the Torah gives us criteria with which to govern our decisions. They may not be totally foolproof, but they're nevertheless applicable to our circumstances. If we follow these criteria and an error does occur, Hashem says, okay, I'm not holding you accountable. This is what the Rambam is saying here. Val zeh, ubedvarim eile v'kayotzebhem, about these things and similar things, Nemar, the Torah says, ha-nistaris l'Hashem alakeinu v'ha-niglis lanu l'vaneinu. That which is concealed belongs to Hashem. That which is revealed is for us and our children. V'nemar, the Pasuk also says in Shmuel Aleph, Ha'adam yiril einayim v'Hashem yiril levav. Hashem sees what's happening in the heart. The person sees the eyes. Our mitzvah is to look at what we can see and make a decision based on that. If the Navi is becheskes kashrus, if he has an assumption of righteousness, of authenticity, of integrity, it's a mitzvah to listen to him. This concludes the seventh chapter of Hilchas Yisoidei HaTorah.